Okay, 1 Peter 2nd chapter. We're going to start with the first verse. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." We're going to turn over to the book of Ephesians, I believe it is, the 2nd chapter. I'm going to start with the 14th verse, 2nd chapter, the book of Ephesians. It says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Galatians, the fourth chapter. We're going to start with the 22nd verse. I could read probably the whole chapter, but I'll start with the 22nd verse. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, I know that's reading in several different places in the Scripture tonight, and I know that there's more in what I've read you than I'll ever get around to, and I could read some more. I really could. There's another place that we thought we might read, and I might get to it, and I might not going to really unless I have to. But I want you to think tonight just a little bit. This is a very familiar scripture, as we've already said, but is talking about, in a couple of places here, is talking about building. Talking about the church, if you really want to know the truth. The church. I want to talk tonight, the Lord help me, about a foundation of the church. The foundation of the church. It's pretty much accepted across this world, my friend, that the church was built upon a rock, and that rock was Peter. Now, that's accepted a good bit across this world. And along with that, my friend, there's a lot of people that's got the foundation of the church as St. Mary. Now, you say, preacher, you're in trouble already. You shouldn't have said neither one of them things, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to try my best to stick with what I've read to you tonight. And brethren, and show us tonight just what is the foundation of the church. Brethren, the church has a foundation. She's always had one. Yes, she has. Brethren, and they, whether you'll have it or not, and it was a different time and a different era, but brethren, the church was in the wilderness. Yes, it was. Brethren, there's things in this scripture that you would think, brethren, that God would have made it the foundation of the church. You can look down through the ages of time. You can look down through the ages of the Bible. And he's had men and women alike, brethren, that he has used, brethren, and they trusted and believed him. Yes, they did. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But brethren, Abraham ain't the foundation of the church. No, he ain't. Pardon my English. Ain't no such word as ain't. I was told that all my career. All my 12th grade career, my friend. I was told ain't no word. But I found out that I still use it. And a lot of other folks do too. Abraham was not the foundation. No, sir. Now, I want you to realize today, brethren, you're a child of Abraham. Woo! Preacher, how can I be a child of Abraham and him not be the foundation? Brethren, he couldn't pay the debt for the church tonight. No, he couldn't. Foundation. The real truth of it is, brethren, and I'll guarantee you, if you ever get anything on you, even concerning this word of God, you'll dig and dig until you get to the bottom of it. Not many foundations are seen. You can go over here in 136. Right now, they're building a bridge. But I want you to know the structure that's going to hold that bridge up, my friend, is already in the ground. Covered. You'll never see it. Woo! Thank God, but you got to have a foundation. Yes, you do. Now, I'm going to say this. You may think I'm crazy, but God did not give himself for a natural church. He didn't send his son for a natural church. And brethren, you are not a part of a natural church. Woo! No, you're not. Preacher, I'm a member of Mountain View Baptist Church. That ain't getting you nowhere. I'm honest. Brethren, the Bible says we're built up a spiritual house tonight. That what he said? A spiritual house. And we're not of the bondwoman. We're of the free. Yes, sir. We're the child of promise tonight. Why is it that God didn't send his son for a natural church? There was a church in the wilderness. I might come back to that, and I might not. Brethren, the truth of it is that you, if you are part of the church of the living God, you are a spiritual house. Preacher, you can't preach that. Yes, I can. I read it to you. We're no longer foreigners and strangers. I'm not a pilgrim. Thank God, wandering in this world. You ain't either. If you're part of the church, If you're part of the church, we was in meeting one night, and the Spirit was moving, working. And it worked so hard on this one woman, I'm just going to tell you, brethren, she didn't know what to do. She was up in age. She didn't know which way to go. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you something. And I'm just going to give you my opinion, but it's a pretty good opinion, I think. She come out of them pews, my friend, grabbed her husband by the hand, drug him out there in front. Yes, sir. You know what? She didn't. She was scared to death. She said, "I want to be a member of this church." I started to jump up and say, "I'm honest. You gotta be born again, brother, to get in the church." Preacher, you're judging. Call me what you want to. It's proven out. It's been years ago, years. It's proven out. Yes, sir. That woman, to this day, my friend, still don't have peace. Hear me. Brethren, she wanted to be a part of the church. Brethren, it ain't no natural church. Preacher, that's too strong. It's what's wrong with a lot of folks. Want to get the cart before the horse. Brother, we come down. You can come down. We can baptize you 15 times and it ain't going to save you. Will it, Crafton? It won't do it. It will not make you one bit part of the church. I know what I'm talking about. Preacher, baptism saves. Baptism of the heart and soul does. Yes, sir. Baptism of this body, brethren, ain't nothing but a showing to the world what went on spiritually. Woo! I know a lot of folks don't like that. The foundation. Brethren, you can go back to Moses. Moses was God's man. But brethren, Moses was not the foundation to the church, nor ever will be. Preacher, he said, they wasn't a band like Moses. He sure did. He said he spoke to, showed visions and dreams and what have you to the prophets and his men, but he said not with Moses. He said to him, "I spoke face to face." But the foundation ain't Moses. No, it's not. We're founded on something, my friend, that is immovable. Is such a word? Can't move it. Can't crumble it. Can't change it. It's already been set. Thank God, and already built on tonight. You go around these places, well, I ain't going to get into that. Foundation. The foundation. Peter was a good disciple. Peter was a disciple that the Lord leaned on. and used. Yes, sir. But Peter was not that foundation that he built the church on. He said, and I say unto thy name is Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Brethren, I want you to know there ain't but one rock that will not crumble. Amen. And that rock is Christ. Amen. He's the chief cornerstone. Is that not right? Now, if you want to talk about foundations of this building, my friend, we've got 12. Preacher, you ought not be so happy about all your preaching. I tell you, it does me good sometimes. It really does. I look at things, always have, and I guess I always will. Me and Kathy, we used to go around, and they'd build these subdivisions. They'd leave these houses open till they got ready for people to come in them. We'd go around, and I'd look around, and I'd look at all the work that was done. It's amazing what you'll see. Huh? It's amazing. They built houses. My friend, people talks about being green. We're living in a green world. Green day. You can get a lot of tax breaks if you'll go green. I understand that, don't you? I ain't gonna get into that. Let me just tell you tonight that the foundation of the church is sure. The writer says in this book, he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Is that not what he says? The Lord knoweth them that are his. But the first part of that verse, it says, having this seal. Having this seal. Brethren, you cannot save yourself. You can't be a part of the church unless you come to Him, my friend, and get born again. It's the only way. You say, preacher, there you go. You back on that being born again. Yeah. Ain't no way. No other way. Must be born again. But we are a spiritual house. We are a spiritual building. Yes, we are. But we have a foundation, my friend, of stone. And the scripture says that he was the stone that the builders rejected. The same has become the chief cornerstone. You can build your life on Jesus. Yes, you can. St. Mary ain't gonna make it. St. Peter ain't gonna make it. I don't know. I've run across, I didn't know there was such a thing, but I run across a St. Mary's Baptist Church. Thought that's odd. St. Mary Baptist Church. There's things, my friend, that people believe that if they'll just put, my friend, the name on it, then it'll stand. It don't work that way. You'd be just like them exorcists. that they had something, but they didn't have Jesus. And the evil spirits knowed it. Did they not? They knowed it. You don't have to tell this world that you're a church member. Do you know that? If you're a church member, I'm talking about the church, brethren, they'll know you're a church member by your actions, by the way that you look at things. I know it ain't popular. I'm just going to be honest with you, Brent. We got a world full of people, my friend, building on the wrong foundation. Is that not right? It's not what I think. It's not what you think. It's not what Brother Crafton thinks. Brother Steve, Jeff, Mike, Gary, Henny. It's not. It's not what we think. Brethren, it's in this book. And this book teaches us, brethren, about the foundation of the church. The foundation. That foundation's supposed to be solid. Does it not? Solid. There's a lot of things that goes on in the building industry. I'll just use that. For example, they build a bunch of houses down there in Adairsville. They cleared off this land. And I asked somebody one day, I said, what they gonna do down there? And he said, they gonna build houses. I said, Lord help them. I wasn't the only one that knowed that. They build right on top of a landfill. Been a landfill as long as I could remember. They shut it down. They got so full and whatever. Well, they went in there and they just put some dirt. Can I say it? Dirt. What they done, packed it down, done all the wherefores and the whyfores. But did you know, my friend, people has crumbling foundations. Yes, sir. How many of you believe a house, my friend, moves? Why are you crazy, preacher? Not so. If you ever get one that ain't built on a good foundation, or ain't even built on a foundation. Years ago, they didn't build them on foundations. They set up about 6-7 pillars and they stretch wood across it and they build it. Yes, sir. But your house moves. It doesn't matter. I don't care how much money you put in it. Your house moves. And it has all to do with what kind of foundation you got, with what kind of problems you're going to have. Your problems, my friend, ain't going to be the walls and the windows and the doors like that if the foundation is right. But even that, it'll move. It does move. They do. But if you ain't got a foundation, my friend, there's quite a bit of movement. Yes, sir. Quite a bit. It's pretty needful tonight that we build on the right foundation. Now, the scripture teaches us that this building, my friend, has 12 foundations. which are what? The 12 apostles. Is that not right? Preacher, why does it have 12 foundations? Because Jesus Christ called him 12 disciples. Yes, sir. And it's built, my friend, on the things that happened in the Old Testament. A lot of folks don't have the Old Testament, won't have it. A lot of folks today won't have anything in the Old Testament. I'll say this, Isaiah prophesied about a cornerstone. Yes, he did. Preacher, did he prophesy about Jesus in more than one place?
Amen.
Many. Many places. Psalms will tell you about a chief cornerstone. Yes, it will. You can go and read it, find it for yourself. We are a building fitly framed together. Folks, and when we're fitly framed together, we are one spiritual house of God. Yes, sir. The church. The church of the living God. It's what we are. We didn't fit ourselves together. We didn't put the glue, my friend, or the chink, my friend, in that of the logs to keep things straight. Or impacted, or glued together, pressed together. It does not matter. Brethren, if it's a man-made product, sooner or later, my friend, it will deteriorate. It will. Oh, preacher, they come out with things. They'll tell you so. We used to sell lumber. And the lumber, treated lumber that we sold, had a lifetime guarantee. We didn't put it there. The producers did. And somebody asked me one day, said, well, just how long is the lifetime? Well, it's according to the product, really. But I called the manufacturer. I said, well, I had a man ask me, how long is a lifetime? It wasn't forever, folks. It had a cap on it. And they said their lumber was guaranteed for 40 years. That's pretty good when you think about it. But I can show you a lot of houses over 40 year old. Amen. That does not have treated timbers in them. Do you know that? Just think about it a minute. We done the base paint for BASF, which PPG bought out. And they guaranteed their paint for a lifetime. Everything that we made for them, we had to keep every sample, every anything. Just anything to do with that batch of paint. You had to keep it. Couldn't get rid of it. And they'd come by every now and again. They'd gather all that information together. And I asked them one day, I said, you guarantee your paint for a lifetime. Now, this is certain kinds of paint. It ain't all guaranteed. A lot of people think it is. A lot of people think when they buy a gallon of paint that and they put it on that it's just going to last forever. It don't happen. It don't happen. But this particular paint, my friend, that we made the base for, they give it a lifetime guarantee. And I asked the man in charge one day, he was at the plant. I said, just what do y'all consider a lifetime? What do you mean? I said, well, you got a cap on it. What's the cap? How long? How many years? How long is a lifetime? And the man in charge, he said, I'll have to get back with you. Huh? I'll have to get back with you. Most of the times, and it's real in this world, brethren, when you buy something and you think a lifetime warranty or lifetime guarantee, then you just think lifetime. I'll never have to do anything anymore. Anyway, the man did get back with me, and he said, well, we consider 50 years. 50 years being a lifetime. Well, that's pretty good, but I want to talk to you. I'm talking to you about a foundation, something that lasts. Something that's built to last. It took our Lord and our Savior 3.5 years to build this. You say, preacher, not so. Not so. 3.5 years, folks. 3.5 years he preached, taught, performed miracles, suffered, bled, and died. Did he not? And arose. That's where our guarantee comes in. Do you know that? We're not justified except by his resurrection. All that of which he done would have been nil. It would have been void without the resurrection. Yes, sir. But he made it, you know what he made it for? A lifetime guarantee. Huh? Yes, sir. And when life is over, what? Eternal. Huh? Is that not right? You shall have what? Everlasting life. We'll never die. We'll be promoted. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why can I say such as that? Because of the foundation we're built on tonight. Amen. Ain't no storm gonna rock it. Foundation. We're built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're not pilgrims. We're not strangers. We're not foreigners, brethren, anymore. We are the house of God. Spiritually. Are we not? And we're built on that foundation that Jesus built in 3.5 years. You say, preacher, it took the Lord years and years and years before he sent his son. It most certainly did. And when Jesus come, it took him 3.5 years to do the work. I believe I can prove that. When he hung on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. What did he mean? That the work that God had given him to do was complete. finished. And folks, when he left here, he didn't leave us comfortless. He sent back the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. That's the key. Brethren, to whether or not you're a child of God, whether or not the Holy Spirit has ever entered in. You don't have to understand all this. You don't have to understand, my friend, how it is that the blood, my friend, comes in and how it gets applied and all such as that. You don't have to understand all that, but you'll have to understand one thing, and that's that the Spirit of God lives within you. It ain't going to live if the blood ain't there. Foundation. It's. I'm going to be quite frank with you. I ain't give you half what I got. Not a half. Maybe a little over a third. Listen. Folks. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Do you know that? Preacher, church going through a lot of things. Doesn't matter. She's not going to fall. She's not going to crumble. She's not going to give in. She's not going to bow. Just because the world changes and brethren changes all their rules does not mean the church is part of it. Now, I'm going to say this, and I know I've said some things already that I get in trouble for, but I want you to know, my friend, that the Pope does not rule God's kingdom.
Amen.
He don't.
Amen.
You know why I can say that? He ain't the foundation. He ain't where it started. No, sir. And the truth of it is, he lost his position. Thank God when Jesus come in. Hey. And we have a high priest. Writer says we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What does it mean, preacher? It means we've got a high priest. Thank God. And he, you know where his home is? Heaven. Yes, sir. Sitting at the right hand of God. Now, as concerning the world, my friend, this world that his church lives in, you know where his home is? It's in the hearts of men. And still standing. It is. Having this seal. What seal is he talking about? Got to be the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his.
Yeah.
He knows every one, Steve. Anybody got anything you want to say or do, leave with us? I told you, I give you a little bit. Some things, well, I'll just let it lay. It's good to be here.